Not too long ago, I was at my sister's house. She had just built a new house north of the Twin Cities, and she had moved in and kind of made it her own, her and her husband, and it's a great little area for her three young kids. But as she was decorating her house and arranging everything, once she had it ready, she called us over for a little home welcoming party, so to speak. And so we went over to her house, and first thing I noticed when I got into the entryway was this beautiful, gorgeous table that looked so familiar to me. And so I asked her where she got it. She had a nice lamp on it, and it was kind of just in the hallway there. And it just fit perfectly and looked really nice. And my sister said, "Oh, you don't remember that?" She said, "That's the table that we had in our house, kind of in the same spot. It was one of the first things you saw, or we all saw, when we were growing up in the house that we grew up in." And so it reminded me, and I was sat there stunned, because in my house, when we had that table there, it was the 70s, and you all probably remember the 70s. It was a colorful time, and bright colors, awful colors sometimes, were a part of that culture. And so we were no different, and so this table was kind of painted this ugly, ugly lime green. And it just stuck out. Of course, my parents loved it at the time, but no one had ever painted over it. It just kind of stayed that ugly green, and I couldn't stand it, you know. So I didn't look very closely at it. But now here I was seeing this table again. What ended up happening was my mother gave it to my sister because she wanted it. And so she took it to her garage, and then her husband went out and stripped all that old ugly paint off it and brought it back down to its beautiful natural wood grain finish. And then he went out and bought a beautiful stain for it and just made the whole thing pop to life. And here it sat looking like a brand new table. And so, boy, was I impressed. And it reminded me of today's readings, because we talk about the transfiguration, being changed into who we really are. We see that with Jesus. But it wasn't so in the beginning. In the beginning, they saw Jesus as a good man, an interesting person, they thought, as they were introduced to him. And as they began to follow him and check him out, they realized that he was a pretty good teacher, too. He had some very interesting things to say. And so they stuck with him. They wanted to know more. And I believe they sensed deep down in their hearts that there was more to him. And so, as the weeks turned into months, he soon became a friend to them. And then as they witnessed his miracles in the weeks and months ahead, eventually they realized that he was at least a prophet, but probably more. In today's gospel, we see that Jesus reveals himself as transformed before their very eyes. Like my sister's table, which was restored to this beautiful new condition, so too it was with Jesus as he was revealed to the apostles so that they could see his true identity, which was hidden from them for a while, that they could truly see him in all his glory as the Son of God. Ultimately, we too will see Jesus in the same way in eternity when we die. But we can also begin to see him in his glory too, in our hearts and minds and in our spirits, even in this life, as we encounter him through our daily prayer and through the sacraments of the church, especially the Eucharist. For it's through our spiritual experience that Jesus reveals himself to us more and more until we see his full glory in heaven. But as Lent calls us to do, we have to keep in mind too, not to let our sins and failings and weaknesses at times get in the way of that relationship. And thus the season reminds us that we too need to keep the corrosion of sin and selfishness from penetrating our hearts and minds and blocking that vision of God in our hearts. For sin prevents us from really appreciating who Jesus really is in our lives and all that he wants to do for us out of his love. During this encounter on the mountain, we see that Peter wanted to build three booths for Jesus and Moses and Elijah who appeared with him. And that's because after Peter got a taste of the glory to come, he didn't want to leave. He was on the mountain. He wanted to keep experiencing that for as long as he could. So why not pitch three tents and all of us can hang out up here for an infinite number of days or weeks? But Jesus says to him after the vision ends, "No, Peter, we have to go back down. I have a mission and I have to complete it out of love for you and for the whole human race. And I need you, Peter, and the rest of you apostles." And he even tells us the same today. "I need you to help me, to continue to spread that mission of why I came, lest people forget and go their own way." And so we take part in that mission. Well, the mountain for us is really the altar where we have that sacrifice, where we come and we receive the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection, those helps and graces and blessings that are given to us through the Eucharist to strengthen us. And so we approach that mountain of the Lord, and then we go out into the world. We come down from the mountain like Peter and the apostles did to continue to spread that good news. We have that same desire that Peter had to know God and a more intimate on a deeper level. And God desires that we would move in that direction. And so let us continue during this Lenten season to purify ourselves through prayer and through our works of charity, our fasting and penance. For only by practicing these things in our spiritual lives can we truly open up our hearts and minds so that Jesus can continue to reveal himself to us and give us that peace and joy, which is beyond all understanding, which we need so much of in our lives and in our world today.